Blog Talk Radio.
If there's one thing in my life that's missing, it's the time that I spend alone, sailing on the cool and bright clear water, with lots of those friendly people, they're showing me ways to go, but I never want to lose their inspiration. Time for it's time for a cool change, and now that my life is so prearranged, I know that it's time for a cool change. Well, I was born in the sign of water, and it's there that I my best. The albatross and the whales, they are my brothers. It's kind of a special feeling when you're out on the sea alone, staring at the full moon like a lover.
Australian rock group Little River Band.
originally formed in Melbourne, Australia, in March 1975. The band achieved commercial success in both Australia and the United States. They have sold more than 30 million records, 6 studio albums, reached the top 10 on the Australian Kent Music Report albums chart, written by lead singer Glenn Shorrock. The song was released in August 1979 as the second single from their 6th album, first Under the Wire. The song peaked at number 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 of the week in January 19, 1980. Cool Change was not released in Australia, and we're going to figure out why that is. Then in May 2001, Cool Change was selected by Australian Performing Right Association as one of the top 30 Australian songs of all time. So shame on them, whoever didn't release it. The song was also awarded a special citation of achievement by BMI for over 2 million radio broadcasts in the United States. I didn't know there was such a thing. Cool River Band, Little River Band. Welcome back, my friends, to the show where I pretend. It's a Saturday. You've stumbled across ATOV Radio. It's a Wonderland production. We are a group of writers from the writing group, writing site, allpoetry.com. We are a group inside. You can find us, ATOV, a team of voices. Just knock on the door. Deb will let you in. It's free to join. Our number here is 646-668-2837. That's 646-668-2837. Call in, meet the other poets. If you want to be part, you can just hang out the first couple times to see what it's all about. Saturday is more of a chat. We will read anybody that wants to call in. We did have a prompt of changes. What affected you growing up? Technology or anything in part of your life. I remember when the electric milker, the milk machine, and had a compressor on the farm. That was huge. That would be considered a big change in somebody's life. With me for tonight is A.P. Taylor. He's the man from Snowy River, the man from down under, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. How you doing, A.P.?
Hey, Haddock, how are you?
I'm getting it together here, finally. And also, we have Deborah Lee. We have Deborah Lee, the owner of these radio programs and the group. Couldn't do it without her. She does all the heavy lifting, so I can sit out here and look pretty. Thank you, Deborah.
My pleasure.
Cool. Yeah, great song. That was very gospel-like.
It was written by Glenn Shorrock, who was the lead singer, and I've got no idea why it wasn't released in Australia, but it's a great song. His lead guitarist and acoustic guitarist was Graham Goble, and my place is Graham Goble's old house, so I've still got the mixing desk where Graham worked on that you've got the photo of
there.
I've got the window upstairs, which he used for his solo album, is still there up the stairs. There you go.
Well,
that's
there we
my
go. Little River Band wrote these songs on this desk. How much is that worth? You got a house with
that's
no corners, huh?
Really?
Got
cool.
A house with no corners.
And you know, I got the idea for the song from a show that Stephen and Kay just did recently on the Little River Band, and I actually chose this song as my prompt to write for, and the poem got picked for front page, so thank you, Stephen and Kay. And speaking of which, they're standing in the background with Sky. To say hello.
Standing in the back. Oh, Sky.
Hi, Stephen. Hi, Sky.
She always brings an echo with her. Her. Sky. And my arch nemesis. And Mrs. Nemesis, are you both here?
Well, Mrs. Nemesis is soaking in a tub, but Arch Nemesis.
All right. I keep telling you, the acoustics are best in the
bathroom.
That's right. She said, go in there and sing us a song. Sing us a song.
Leave that woman alone. Let her take a bath.
Oh, hell no.
God.
I am the wind in her hair, no matter where she is.
Oh, God.
If you scroll up on the board, I put a GIF from Joe versus the Volcano on the board while the song was playing.
Great. That was a great movie.
Yeah.
Got bad reviews. And I tell you what, anytime that Siskel and Ebert voted the heavy, was that Siskel, the heavy one? Heavy was that one?
Whatever he said,
thumbs down to, whatever he.
Pretty much, yeah.
It was a freaking worthless job. It wasn't very good at it.
Yep.
No.
What am I doing? Oh, I'm trying to get to the. That's right. Oh. Well, we climbed up. We had two days of high cloud, high smoke overcast. So the sun was a little blocked out. Didn't get up past 90. But the wind changed. Wind changed and blew the smoke away. So now we got up to, it got hot today again.
Yeah.
I hate not being used to it.
I hate hot.
Well, I always go out early when the temperatures start rising. I go out and I start working it just so I get used to it so I can stand the 105. I can stay out there for a while.
Yeah. Very nasty.
Did I miss? No.
I think we just got Deb asking Stephen Sky how much time they've got.
Oh, he said he posted something. I've got to look. Barry, hold on.
Right.
I can post it again if you like. Be
there it is, yeah.
No.
The luggage. Yeah, the luggage.
You got it, all right.
That was, I think that was a spiritual epiphany for everybody that ever watched it, when that scene, he's floating in the ocean.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mission gets that big.
So,
all right.
Sky, are you okay if we do Stephen and then yourself? Is that okay with you?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay, cool. Right. Well, let's do that. Stephen, your square inches are up on the board.
All right, thank you. I actually wrote this for one of Deb's contests, and I do have to say, congrats on that front page pick, Deb, for the cool change poem. It's an awesome piece.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is about a birthday gift that really did, I think, change me. This gentleman's music had a big influence on my life after I discovered him. And this is called 12.375 Square Inches. I remember when I turned 10, didn't know who you were then. The only music that I did know came from Dad's car radio. But after my party, I'd know your music that make my heart glow. Grandma and Aunt had a plan, and I knew not what was at hand. From Grandma, a pretty big box, so I knew that it wasn't more socks. Ripping gift paper did make me aware that she got me a record player. I thought she was having some fun, because records, I really had none. Until my aunt gave me theirs. 'Twas thin and 12 inches square. Ripped it open to find you looking cool. My glass house with a rock to put to. It was still rock and roll to you. And you've been with me my whole life through. End poem.
Oh, really? Billy Joel, huh?
Yep.
Billy Joel. Yep. Cool. Cool album. Really
married Christy Brinkley. And then lost her.
Yeah, but he had her.
Yeah, he did. I was first there. Yeah, right at the front of the line. Yeah, that's it. This is very good. You know, I love the you had another one where you wrote about your grandpa's house. Anytime you do that, man, it's like you take us along with you, and you can tell it's you're writing to a memory, a true memory. Very good.
I really liked it. The only thing I couldn't explain with that album, Stephen, was why on earth All for Lena was its first single. If you've got, it's still rock and roll to me on the album, and you may be right on an album, why on earth would you go for All for Lena as its first single? Just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I know. But I like that song.
You know?
But yeah, well, you may be right. It should have been the first one. It was the first track.
You may be right, or, you know, flip the coin. But, you know, All for Lena was a long-distance third.
Yeah.
Deborah got a first-page pick. R.A.P., you wanted to comment on the piece?
Yeah, I do. I like the whole idea of getting a record player as a present, and I like the whole idea of it opening up music for you. And I still remember the first album I got, and it's a really sort of it's a thing that just imprints itself on you, and whatever that first album. You know, you have a very close and tender piece in your heart. And I think, Stephen, you wrote to that very well.
Thank you, AP.
Yeah, Sky, would you like to comment?
Oh, I was just saying on the board how Hatter loves that poem, too, with the picture with the American flag outside. And I think that's the poem you're thinking of, Hatter, but I think the grandfather poem, I like that one too. This is quite brilliant. And I know that I often, you know, we were just talking about records the other day, and you have a whole show with a movement of sound, and I know how much music means to you. And I know how much music means to me, and how different songs and different artists can really influence us, not only in our creative avenues, such as writing, but also in what we're going through as people. And I, you know, there's often it will be what kind of mood are you in? You could either, your mood can either reflect the music you're listening to because you're picking them out to complement your mood, or maybe you're picking out a song to uplift your mood. And music can really do that. And so I can really connect this piece on a personal level, but also having things treasure hand down, you know, from grandpa, the pretty big box, you know, things that were dusted off then and given to you or and shared with you that your parents or your grandparents have given to you that you pretty much take throughout your whole lifetime and remember and think fondly of. And then again, that first opening, that ripping open as you're first looking, I really liked that line, ripping it open, I find you looking so cool. And it speaks a little bit about our idols as well, and when we're young and who we're really looking to be the face of our idols. And some of that sometimes that can be musicians. I think they're greatly can be influenced. Children well, so really, really well done. I enjoyed this. I liked your personal, you know, I loved your personal pieces. I think there's such wonderful sentiment in them. Yeah
there was always something about getting the new album covers. The first thing you do is take it out and read it cover to cover, and they got pretty elaborate about the history of the bands and such. Yeah, the collection of LPs back then. Now, I do have a little ditty on why it wasn't released in Australia in 1975.
Thank you.
Why?
It just didn't fare well on the charts. It failed to land on charts at all. So this is back when the Wrecking Crew was still working. They were creating bands and hits at a different pace in a different way, so everything was charted, everything was tested, test marketed first before those companies would sink them hundreds of tens of thousands or whatever it was. Yeah, so it just didn't fare well.
Yeah.
It's the only reason it wasn't released.
Well,
there you go. There you go.
Sometimes
cool.
I get
it's
wrong.
Like my song.
They're lost because that's a great song.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
It is.
But Stephen, your poem, the first stanza hit me really hard too, because for the biggest chunk of time, the only music that I knew was also on Dad's car radio, or whatever station in the house. The Oldies 98 is what it was called, and those were the songs. So when people have a conversation with me, they tend to think that I'm older than I am because I know songs. But it's because Dad ruled the radio, so I feel you there.
So, Stephen, did you think give a plug to a show at all before? Because I know you need to disappear fairly soon. That's all.
Oh, yeah. Our next show over at A Poetic Slice of Life is The Mortuary of Shadows, Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We're delving back into Edgar Allan Poe and the fall of the House of Usher. We have quotes from that short story to write to. Should be a fun evening.
Shall be. Anything with Poe is a brilliant theme, so sounds good.
Hey, Stephen.
Yes.
Do you have a balloon?
Do I have a balloon?
Oh,
I want you to blow it up. When Kate has to get that, put it in her face.
You know, he is holding a red balloon, and if you pop it, then you might get doused in blood. So be careful, Hatter. to really get that joke. It sounds really morbid out of
sounds like a terroristic threat. Guys.
It was Pennywise. I don't think it'd be a very romantic breeze when it sounds like.
I know.
No, I wouldn't.
That's why it was funny. That's why it was funny in my head. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the wind, man. No, it's not the wind.
Oh, I brought it to a darker place.
All right.
So, how about if you let Sky read? That way, maybe they can both listen to the collab before they go.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, mine's a little different. So you asked for what changed our lives. I went kind of generic, but I did dig something out of the vault, which, of course, I found writing in my youth at 11 years old, and I joined a lot of writing classes in school, and I learned a lot of forms, and I went into creative writing, and I did a lot of things. So I would say that writing was a great influence, obviously, in my youth. And I pulled out something, and now this has not been edited. So when you're reading this, please keep in mind that I was a very angsty 17-year-old. And I just got done. I think it was right around the time I watched the movie Quills with Joffrey Rush and Kate Winslet and Joaquin Phoenix. I don't know if you guys ever seen that, but it's a pretty dark movie. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty... I was pretty angsty back then. So so this is actually written when I was 17. So not only is it something that you asked for, but it's also something written during those ages. So this is, and it's very melodramatic, so please hang in there. Blood of the Quill by Sky Darkholm. I guess this is all I have. Black ink splurging on lined paper. Why so organized, so neat? When words of society are thought rambling and chaotic forensic, stringed minds of insecurity, hate, oblivious of the pollutants created at their fingertips, a sheepish chorus of some labeling, the penalty of such ignorance should be blood, sharp knives splitting the tips of insanity as ruby crystals dance upon blades, So if need come to process thought to word, despite the flickering pain, loss of feeling, they'd write. Only a fool would jabber incoherently, if only to make a falsehood of crimson pain. But for those who live by the smudges of ink and not by the fabricated lined paper, the silent alternative would be madness, a prison to hold captive the mental rambling of the deranged. End poem. And I also think I just got done reading a separate piece by John Knowles, and I've never lost the word falsehood after reading that book. So should have all, has always stuck with me.
A separate piece. I actually read that book also.
Oh,
I made a movie on it.
See, I've never seen the movie, but I did read the book back in high school. I haven't read it since.
I
still remember it pretty well.
I don't know if there is a movie, and I was saying that I made a movie.
Oh, you made a movie.
For an English project, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
So you had explained it before. I'm reading it with you here, and I'm going, okay, what is she talking about? The changes. And I'm going, okay, all right. But you explained it before. I'm just lost here. You were 17 and you wrote this. So what was that, 2 years ago?
Yeah, I don't think so, my friend. We're getting up there. It's 2021. I mean, in 3 more years, it'll be 20 years ago. So it's getting there.
You're still the youngest one in the room.
I know. Do you know what was cool about this piece is that I wrote this for creative writing, and in our creative writing class, we used to have journals, and we would have to do poetry. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to keep our journals in poetry form or in story form or whatever you want to do, but we had to write it. And then we had to, on like Friday, we had to turn it into our teacher. And they would look over it, and then they would give us all back Monday or whatever. Or they would do it, I forget what it was, but he was the head of, we ran this literary magazine that got published, and it went out to the town. And it was also part of that club, and we would judge, the room would judge the poems blind. So they would take all the names off of people, and then we'd have a panel of judges. And by my junior year, I was in a senior panel of judges. But you very well could be the person who wrote it could be in the room. So you always want to be fair in your judging, but you still had to give critique. And they would pick which poems would get published or which stories, and then it would go get real publishment. And so, I have a few poems that are published back then. But my English teacher, who was the creative writing teacher who did the book club too, who this was submitted to, I remember he used to always say, "You're so melodramatic." But he also wrote, he gave me a book of poetry that he got published himself. So it was quite an inspiration. So I would say it was very influential on me as a person.
Is he a good poet? Being that he's not in the room?
I thought it was great. He did give me one word of advice. He'd always say to me, just stay away from story writing. You're way too detailed. But 17 pages in, I don't even know the character's name. So he actually told me to stick to poetry storytelling. He actually was the first person that ever said that to me. He's like, I don't even know what's happening. I don't even know if we're like 17 pages later where nothing's happening in the story. We're still talking about the wallpaper. I'm like, yes.
Sounds like a fun class.
Must have been some really loud wallpaper. Just saying.
Very good.
But I think
this
is really cool, Sky, and it's got like the little bits of sharp knives sitting in the tips of insanity. Yeah. What a great metaphor there. You were, even at 17, you were already pulling some pretty clever metaphors and stuff out. So rambling in a chaotic, forensic, stringed mind of insecurity, hate. I think that your little 17-year-old share is awesome.
So how was his teacher on metaphors? Was he a creative writing in that way? Where,
he was quite good, and it wasn't somebody who you were really afraid to give your poetry to, because obviously as teenagers, you know, I was a very dark writer even then. I read a lot of Poe even then. I liked Emily Dickinson. There was a lot of, and I obviously was going through a lot of things at home, so I was naturally a darker writer. And he was all about cultivating that creativity and metaphor.
Right.
And it wasn't in a way where it was judgmental. It was fertilizing. And I remember I wrote this poem. It was called Wilted Flowers. That it actually was published then. And it was just all about wilting flowers and about how, you get them and you're awed by them and you love them and then you throw them away a couple of days later when they and then I had this piece, like, don't write something if it's not worth writing. And if it is, then you should be willing to write with your blood. So it's very melodramatic, and he always cultivated that, even though it was quite dark.
was he a grammar Nazi?
I wouldn't say that. I wasn't very good. I was never. I did well in English when it came to. I did really, really poorly in, like, they kind of split English into two parts in a year. One would be like the grammar part, and then the second part would be literature. I don't know why they did it that way, but I would really I would barely pass the grammar part, but the literature part, where you had to read things and then write about them, about what you learned. And if that part, I would flourish in. Same thing with creative writing. I had a really hard time with writing in the club. Yeah.
So he had a mandatory reading list for the classes? There was a mandatory reading list?
Well, yeah. Not for this. It was just they taught us form. He taught us form poetry. We did. I also took a social media class, too, for literature. My math was so far behind my senior year and halfway through my junior, because I had been to so many different schools, and I was dyslexic. It was horrific. So they actually just took out my math class and gave me extra English classes. And I took out my study, and I took extra English classes. But they were creative English classes. They were like social media and writing and things like that. So
probably wasn't into the classic limericks, though, huh? Deb, you want to go ahead?
I learned a lot of forms. I remember we did a lot of forms, and we did like social, like we would, like we, one time we had to bring in a video, and then we had to write about that video, and I ended up bringing in Radiohead, a very graphic video. All about the machine, and very punk, and the whole class is like, what are we watching? And I'm like, yeah, it's good.
Cool. Deb, let's do the collaboration. And another miracle AP. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I was told earlier we scored a 10.
Yeah.
Get out.
It scored a 10, and this is the one that has the least of my words in it, even if my words are only and, then, with, and as. It's an if, but still the least amount of my words other than the title are in this. And it's number 55.
Double. So what, as far as piecing it together, where is it on the 1 to 10 scale as far as your job? Was it easier or harder?
It was about the same. It wasn't harder, I'll put it that way. And like, I broken record syndrome, but I say it all the time. You guys zoomed in on enough of the same things to tie it together, like scarabs and an apple. And you'll see as I read.
Yeah.
You always seem to bring in enough. So,
if you want to take a look at the and zoom in on that picture, Steven and as a guy, this is what we get to look at, you know, and all the little things in there. And the more the merrier, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, look at those beautiful calla lilies.
Yeah.
I, you know, it's day really lilies busy. Were my favorite, and then I seen calla lilies, and I was like, Oh, that's a tough call now.
Yes, so pick a couple items in there and see if that you would write about, and see if we hit, if we.
Well, you see, Sky just did a calla lily right off the bat.
Did you put it in there?
It struck you, Stephen.
First thing I saw was a cat in the upper corner.
A kitty?
Aww. Yeah. Kitty. All right. All right.
All right.
Who's
going to
read it?
Good.
Okay.
I am dialing on the other phone just in case, because this one just started beeping at me. But I am ready.
Okay.
And this poem is called, there's a nod to the Joni Mitchell song, Both Sides Now, in the title. So I just figured since we're on the air, I should probably say that. And it's called Stamps and Shells Tossed Everywhere with No Ice Cream Castles Anywhere. Here we go.
In the air.
Yes, that one. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Anchors to save on a hot summer days to search for the lost desert scrolls of a mandolin, a divot, and sunflowers with peacock feathers that predict the weather while a game box sits behind bowers. Green scarab cases fill the odd spaces walking back from the Sphinx. Then the scarab beetle wanders past the Roman shield. The shield with crests is anyone's guess, but the Sphinx and the house cat, if eyes peeled. While a kingfisher washes over a nest, bluebird seeds and melodies fill the crowded room for a butterfly outside, its gilded cage at rest. On diamondback blocks, keys with no locks slam as a feather touches the sun to the tune of lutes and lyres and trial by fire, listen to the mandolin wind, appearing with an oboe hiding behind runes. Electric crank at the bank, looking for a hole to fish. Then the keys left access to who knows what. Now the flagons and dragons is the brew that is true, filled with the apple and ball, but not in one spot. If an apple bush floats on trees with no coats for monkeys and kittens in corners of kitchens too hot, dusting dolls hang on the walls and white Russians gather in crowds as they struggle to find links in the throes. Hourglass bubbles holding the shovels to bury the witch of the West dressed in a masquerade mask and a pink rose. And hold.
Wow. Mm-hmm. There's two, I think it's the second stanza. Second stanza. And then the other one, God damn it. On diamondback blocks, keys with no locks slam as a feather touches the sun to the tune of lutes and lyres of trial by fire, listen to the mandolin wind. That's beautiful.
And to tie those together, I added the word on at the beginning and of in front of lutes.
Mm. So you just added three small words so they connect.
I'm like the conjunction chick because that's all I did here.
I had to get that. Now the flagons with the dragons is the boo that is true. The old Danny Kaye, I can't remember it. Classic movie. Goes up against the Black Knight. Boy, AP, I think you got the nesting dolls, and I put the Russian, or was that my line? You did too. You hit the nesting dolls? Okay, I believe I did.
So I'm going to pull a hat out of my hat. If you guys don't mind, I'm going to pull a hat out of my hat. And I'm going to ask Deb questions, because I've got questions. Yes. Hatter always seems to have questions, and I've got some. When you do these, do they give you groups of lines and do you keep them together, or do they give you groups of lines and you dismantle them in between each other?
Both. For example, for the last several, AP has sent stanzas, and his stanzas, of course, rhyme in some way, whether it be AB, normally AB, 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 you know. And Hatter gives me lines that have a lot of inner rhyme. And I read Hatter's lines with AP's and the position that keeps the rhyme going at the very least in A, B, B, B type of thing. So it might not, the cadence might not always be spot on, but I can always find a way to at least make it a rhyming poem when they do it that way. Sometimes, if you look at the bottom, Sky, you'll see exactly how it was given to me. Sometimes, at least half a dozen times out of the 55 they've done, it practically threaded together exactly as they sent it to me. Like I could have taken exactly what they wrote and just without even reading it, go AP Hatter, AP Hatter, AP Hatter, and then read it, and it made sense. That was only a couple of times that it was that easy. But, for example, in one of them, it was another picture by this particular artist, and the first word, first thought, first line that each of them sent me started with Pinocchio. So it works because they are somehow in tune without ever speaking to each other about the photo. But because I also read them and, like, I'm used to Hatter's flow inside the lines versus AP's all the way down the lines, and I just have a good time putting the puzzle together, per se.
Did I
answer the question?
You did answer the question, and then I didn't realize you had that answer. You had it below. It's cool how different ways you can do these collaborations. So I was just curious. I thought this was quite brilliant. I think I dare to say it's my favorite so far. I don't know what it is, but I've been to Lines. It's so of the loose and the leers. First of all, I love those double L's, but the loose and the leers, a trial by fire. A trial by fire, listen to the medallion wind. I love that. And then I loved how they brought in the oboe and the music sachets. And then, again, this inner line rhyme, which I thought was really – I just loved it right here, this magical one. Now, the flagons with dragons is the brew that's true. I really, really loved that, too, as well. I thought that was quite brilliant. And then, of course, bringing in – you know, they both said medallion, or someone said medallion twice, because it says it here, search the lost – the desert, scrolls of the medallion. And when words are repeated like that, you're kind of threading them into the poem. So I think that's quite brilliant as well. And I love the green scarab cases fill the odd spaces. This is definitely my favorite. I think it's because it's so riddled with fantasy and magic and inner line and end line rhyme. And I love the language in it. And I thought this was quite. Then you get the swing. It doesn't have in it is calla lily. So you're going to have to go back and put calla lilies in it. And then it has the cat. It doesn't have a calla lily. So you're going to have to stick that line and then Sky contributed to the calla lilies, and then we'll be good. But I thought it was quite brilliant. And it is, I truly believe it is my favorite one so far.
Now the way this started, we had no guidelines. We just to give Deborah some lines, and we started out. I think we got more comfortable creating longer lines if we had a little more to work with. I don't know if you see it that way, AP, but it seems like it. The thought could be carried on a little longer if when it meshes. So we had no really guidelines of what Louise Winch sent her. we just try to. I think AP would agree with me. She's got, Deborah's got the worst job. We just look at that, stare at it a while, figure some nice lines in there, and give it to her. And she's got to put it together.
Yeah, look, I think we sort of, it depends on the image a bit, Sky, as to which way we attack it. But I think typically for us, the more stuff that it's got in the image, the better off we are. If an image is too sort of simple or straightforward, we can often not get quite as good a result. But this particular artist, I think we've done a couple in a row, and there's certainly lots going on, and this gives us the ability for each of us to put our words on paper, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like this one.
Even?
It's this top three. This lands in the top three, I think.
What did you
think, Steven? What do you think of the process? What do you think of the process we go through every week?
Yeah, I like this a lot. And Hatter, I didn't realize I was muted before. I was trying to tell you that the Flagon with the Dragon is the brew that is true.
Yeah.
The movie is called The Court Jester.
The Court Jester. That's right. The Court Jester.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking of the other one. Yeah, yeah. The Malice with the Chalice, the Flagon with the Dragon, Vessel with the Pestle, the Vessel with the Pestle.
Yep.
Yeah, I really got to watch that now. But
Danny
I'll read what I wrote in my comment, that I thought this is a cool piece. A lot going on in that prompt as well as the collab. I like how it's peppered with that interline rhyme and filled with the light imagery, save the Scarab Beetle. Because I saw what they can do in the movie The Mummy, and it's not pretty.
Fair enough, please.
Excellent. Sort of comparing what I'm looking at your lines, AP, just see what where we overlapped.
Yeah.
I get a little, when I got down to my the last four lines or something, I got a little abstract,
but that's fun. I actually went straight to the shield, interestingly enough, here, because I'm a bit of a history buff, as you know, Hatter. Not bad in history. So I went straight to the Roman shield and sort of went from there.
I was really wondering if you were going to mention the nesting dolls.
No, it sort of flashed in front of me a bit like a lilies. They sort of flashed in front of me and then didn't quite fit, and so got sort of put on the side.
I'm going to sneak out.
Yeah, I was like my first line.
Oh, hold on a second.
Go ahead.
Sky, don't leave until you push your next show.
My next show is next Saturday at 8 p.m. over at Poetic Slice, Dungeons & Dragons volume. I think we're on 4. There's a couple more. It's race volume 3 or 4. And there's a couple more races for you to go right up to. There's a changing race, so that will be fun. I have a feeling many people will pick that. I'm not sure. But I think there's also gnomes, and there's 2 more. I can't think of what they are now, but it's going to be fun. So you can, these are things you don't have to go into delve into complete detail. You can learn up a little bit about the character, race traits, and find a picture and write a character right, do whatever you want, as long as you bring in some of the half orcs. That's right. So Stephen's right.
I must say.
Orcs and half orcs.
I must say, Sky, no matter where you have your shows, they're always fun. They're always a lot of laughing, and that's attributed to, and that's definitely directed to the host.
Well, I have to have people to laugh with, because it's definitely dependent also on my callers that are so wonderful. But I have a fun time, and, you know, Stephen and I fight over who's pressing what button over there, and over here, I totally enjoy about just talking about random stuff. I do enjoy doing them. If I didn't, I wouldn't do them, because I have too many things I need to do in my life not to do things I want to do to be fun.
Yeah.
So,
we don't have that problem. We don't have that problem. We have people from other studios pushing our buttons.
I knew it was coming. I knew it.
I didn't even. I walked right into that. I did. Yeah. You know, today I was checking. I was checking my buttons before the show, and so I always check my sound clips because I want to make sure I'm super. I'm really, you know. Specific. So I always check my sound clips before the. So I'm playing the song, trying to check this thing, and then all of a sudden I hear in the middle, I think, you know, Stephen jumped in the studio, and all of a sudden, what is it I hear, Stephen?
Lemonade.
I knew we wanted to say it. Oh, I'm so glad, you guys. Oh, you have no idea how I'm blushing now. That's how bad it was. I was like, oh my god. I'm so glad you guys took it well. But I am gonna go. I just so that you know, Deb, I do have to do a second shift and a double sleep on Monday. I'm doing a couple of those next week. It will be my last week at my job, so I will be quite busy, but I'll try to put in a sound file for you.
Oh, I hope
so.
I'm looking forward to the Happy Meal, right?
I know. I was gonna get on my soapbox, but I really can't because I still go there, so I couldn't all the way. So I think I'm gonna go with something really dark. Sorry, it's gonna be really dark.
That's cool. Gonna bring maggots with you.
We'll be going into the depths of despair.
Sounds
all right.
Fun.
Have a fun show. Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks,
bye,
Sky.
Bye, Sky. Bye, Sky. See you later. Later. Echo.
I got a hit.
Okay.
Yeah,
see you.
Have fun, Steven.
Thanks for stopping by.
Say hello to Kay.
Y'all have a good night. Thank you very much.
Tell her about the balloon. Okay.
No, you will tell her about the balloon.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Good night.
All right. Okay. Good stuff. That's guys, two of our close friends and hosts.
Hey, yeah.
Always good to have him. So today, National Senior Citizen Day. If you didn't hug a senior citizen, you need to do it. You need to do it now. And it's also Honeybee Day.
Should I just go grab a random one somewhere or what?
Just say, yeah.
Something like that.
Thank you for your service.
Not much of the day.
Thank you for being
midnight,
old.
It's midnight, so I think maybe I lost chance.
Okay, well, tomorrow is Be an Angel Day, National Be an Angel Day and Tooth Fairy Day. So, knock a tooth
out. There you go.
I'm always an angel. Ask Rhyma Rhyma.
There you go. You're an angel. What? Yeah, I got a comic walking through the room here.
I heard it.
All right. Let's
stop trying to push him to get you those guys with the fans that feed you grapes if you don't be nice.
Yeah, I didn't tell her that yet. that's in the bucket list. When we win the lottery, one of the first things to get done. We're going to get you a big fan so you can stand over and... You know, be the wave.
That'd be good.
No. That's not what I said. She's not doing the waving. You have to get the hot guys that are going to do the waving of the feather fans to while they hand feed
her
grapes.
That's right. I had the whole time I had her in the corner with a big old ostrich feather or wing or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You didn't hear that.
Ostrich isn't there.
Well, you know, I went a different way with the prompt of changes. There were a whole list of things that I would say I appreciated that were new. One of them was when the car stereos got beefy and bad in our hot rods. the muscle cars. That was huge. Have a nice sound system in your car, by far. And the muscle cars themselves. I had a 69 Chevelle, a 67 Firebird, a 71 Firebird, and as far as the muscle car, I had an old El Camino with a big block in it. But let me go find mine if I could. Are you right there, Deb? There it is. Yeah, I made the mistake of eating ice cream last night, and I had a half a shake brought home to me.
Yeah.
And I can no longer tolerate dairy.
Oh.
I'm paying for it.
That's not good.
I know, because I love milkshakes. I love ice cream.
There you go. Well, your poem is up on the board, Heather.
Told you to buy the lactate tablet.
Yeah. Oh, there's tablets. Well, what does that do? I before I drink milk or something, how do I do that?
Well, if you must do it the regular way, then you chew up the tablets to help you with the issues that come after it. But
yeah.
Nowadays, you can buy lactate-free ice cream and make your own damn milkshake.
You can't do that.
Joy's laughing. Joy's really, I can hear her laughing the way you said that. And the issues that come after. Yeah.
And Hatter, I'll have you know, after 3 days of trying to reach you and not being able to find you, I went and checked to see what the last poem you wrote was. And it was this one. And dear big brother, this poem ends with something like, I'll leave you with these words or some shit like that. And I was like, no, what the frick? So you're lucky you answered
what?
The phone, just saying.
On this one?
This one.
Okay. Yeah, I
you
went,
can't
I,
write
I went,
a poem
I
like this and then disappear for 3 days and not expect to share people.
Well, David, actually, I thought I was communicating to you through a messenger, and apparently they didn't get sent. So I was in contact. I'm sorry about
that. Yeah, with your draft machine. Or your draft button, not with the send button, because you left me hanging.
You know, I got a new messenger app. That's not the same. That's my bad.
It couldn't possibly be the guy that has to push the send button. Jeez.
The Alzheimer's got me. Okay. This is called The Cost of Going Too Fast. And it's been 2 weeks since I've written it, so I'm not sure what's in it, but here we go. Rotor antennas on growing poles, tillers to till the garden in rows, push-button phones not on the wall, multiplex buildings they call our malls. Color was added to our mono TVs, bigger the screens so we can all see. Calculators invented was more than a fad. How can any of this be bad? Stereos did blast our bitchin' cars, muscle-type hot rods and electrical guitars. Computers and knowledge makes easy for college, but something smells fishy to me. Texting and emails like a collection of seashells, fragile is its complacency. I know it was better to write a letter, to invest my time in you. It's clearly a thing with no offerings. I've got nothing better to do. God had a place that slowed... God had a place that slowed the pace. Sunday was about family. Reunions each year with some holiday cheer, nothing was better for me. When people still cared and would always share, never acting or playing pretend. New gadgets to own like Star Trek phones, push buttons and a message will send. There it is right there. So I wish you all well, because there's nothing, no way to tell if the sun will ever rise. So I leave you tomorrow, and I look with great sorrow. High tech will eat you alive. I left you these words that might sound absurd with the feeling of things so sad. What you carry inside the day you die never had a price tag. For some reason, I had to have that last bit put on there, because the original ending was High Tech Will Eat You Alive. I had to add that other just to get that last line price tag. I think it ends twice, doesn't it, AP? It ends and I keep reading.
Yeah, a little bit. It does. But,
a little bit. Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with ending twice. You've got a very good second ending, Hatter, you know, and you've got a very good second ending. So I'm happy to end it twice if it ends well both times.
Yeah, I think I can get away with it, but maybe I could write a whole another piece with that ending.
You maybe could. I like the sentiment and the rhyme there. I agree.
Yeah, I tried to get, you know, it's like, and I've said this out as a joke before, but it's not. It was reality. The high tech thing in our houses was a rotor TV, rotor antenna. That was big. That was a big thing.
Yeah.
And the higher you got it, the better reception. And rototillers.
Yep.
How old are rototillers ever around? Let's see. Push button phones.
Yeah, no, they've been around for years.
Remember when phones hung on the walls?
Yes. Well, the first mobile phone I had lived in the car, and it couldn't get moved from the car.
When I was a kid, I think I was in junior high. So I was in seventh, eighth grade. An adjoining township next to from Fair Oaks is Orangeville, and it's basically all pasture, farmland, orchards at that time. And in the middle of the flatland out there, way by itself, they built this huge mall. It's called Sunrise Mall.
Wow.
It's one of the it for years was the place to go. I mean, people drove hours to get there. And it sat out there by itself. There was nothing else out there. And it's like when it first opened, half the shops weren't there was no businesses in them. But they had a cinema and everything to draw, and it became quite huge. And everything now you wouldn't even recognize it. It's so built commercial all around it. So when I saw the multiplex buildings, because everybody sort of looked at it, went, "This is huge. Look at this thing." And then you walk in, there's no shops. You go, how are they going to do this? You know, well, they did 4C, and I guess the malls nowadays are pretty much suffering with the online purchasing to buy stuff online.
Yes,
aren't the malls just are hurting everywhere? Yeah.
Yes, they are. Yep, you're right.
Offer some free stuff. Got to offer some free stuff. Get a spec.
You become something else, you know. You become an entertainment hub, or you become another. You create another reason for people to go there.
Well, they tried the senior walk, where the seniors would do their walks. They were called mall walkers.
Yes.
Good groups. Tried that. I don't know. It's the biggest place with nothing in it now. I mean, there's still shops in it, but it's not near what it was.
But it's hollowed out.
Like I said, I made a list. We saw color come on the TVs. I remember that.
Yes.
We were not the first family to have color TVs. So there was a time that we were colorless. And I'll tell you what, you don't know what you got until it's gone. I mean, no. You don't know what you have until you have it. Because
well,
we didn't know
true.
It. We
didn't
miss
color
TV because we didn't know what it was. Yeah, we didn't miss it because we didn't know what it was. Yeah. But and then when it finally afforded one, we got to – let's see. Okay, stereos, bitching cars, hot rods, and guitars, the electric guitar, all the new pickups and different strings
and
effects.
And
amplifiers. Computers and knowledge makes the – easy for college. Something smells fishy to me. Texting and emails like a collection of seashells, fragile in its complacency.
Yeah, I like that.
I was proud of that, to tell you the truth. I felt above what
I like
usually that. Then it was all, whoa, whoa, whoa. I know it's better to write a letter. I tell you what, if you really want to impress a friend, write them a handwritten letter.
Yeah, I guess they don't get too many these days, have they? I did a lot years ago, but I don't see too many now.
Guess who I talked to yesterday?
Who was that?
My ex-wife.
Get out of here.
I know.
Well, there you go.
It was good. It was good.
That is good. You've done better than me. I haven't spoken to my ex in 6 months.
So this is the second. This is the third time in 20 years.
There you go. I'm still probably beating you, but not by much.
Yeah. Anyway. I said that for a reason. I can't remember why I said that. Oh, I did mention the Star Trek phones. You know, the communicators or the tricorders or whatever they had.
Yeah.
The flip phones. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what? I don't know. It's not too far behind us that would never have known that we had phones on the walls. They're actually mounted on the damn wall.
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea of fixed phones has just gone to the dogs in the last 5 years. They just don't exist anymore. You know, everybody just uses mobiles.
Yeah.
So,
push-button phones.
Telephone companies.
They don't know what it's like. Dialing that old phone, you know.
Yes. You remember it. You hear it. Yeah.
And then you screw it up. Then you screw it up, so you got to start all over.
Again.
You hated the friends that had nines and zeros and that number.
Yep.
And we could remember how many phone numbers could you log in your head, your friends and your quite a few.
Well, see, I'm unusual like this, Hatter. I actually remember numbers, which is dangerous.
I'm a very number oriented guy too. I would have been taught music in a numerical sense, the math.
Yeah.
I would have got it a lot earlier. Then the dreaded ending. I never had a price tag. I think I'm gonna chop it off. So.
Don't chop it.
That's a picture of me, a drawing.
Ah.
Well, we knew that. I thought everybody knew that.
Mm-hmm. So,
all right.
Heather, we better do one of mine, I guess, because I've got
okay.
three.
Well, hold on, Pete. I want to know Deborah's. I see what you mean at the ending. I see that now. That wasn't intended for anything like that.
Okay.
But, okay. Deborah, what do you think? Anything else there? Can you give me honest stuff?
No. I like that you did the walk through the things that were going on and stuff like that. And on the other time, I would, you know, just taking it that way. But like I said, I was stressing because it's not like never gone without talking. It's just you, if I try to text you or I called two or three times and you never picked up, and when you don't pick up, you always call back. So I got a bit concerned, and then I go over and, like I said, so I leave you tomorrow, or so I wish you all well, because, you know, there's no way that the sun will ever rise. And I'm like, what? I'm like, WTF? It just seemed like a foreboding ending when I hadn't heard from you. That was all. But the poem itself is an awesome poem.
You know, again, it was all that was created backwards from the never had a price tag. That's how that could get away from you, man. And I was saying, how can I, you know, tie this in? And Yeah, and the story was with my phone. It fell off the bed, and so I had a choice. And it stayed on the floor for a while.
I got to put this thing back on the board. Let me put this back, because I erased it already. Under the, where is it? Here we go. Okay, put this one back on there. Okay. So Hunter, just so you know, like AP's about to read one, and then after that, there's four: me, then AP, then Gerald, then AP, and the poems are clear.
Okay. What hour? We're an hour in. Hour into the show, we stumbled across ATOV Radio. We are poetry group. With me is my co-host AP Taylor from Australia and Deborah Lee. She runs the place. See what I did there? Call signs.
Yeah, I saw what you did there.
Nodding.
Okay. Which one are we reading?
Well,
the one AP.
If we
AP,
yeah,
one AP got it, okay.
Yeah, because if we had to divide those sort of 5 to 15 years, Hatter, up to about the age of 15, my life was pretty easy and straightforward. But then, of course, my parents went broke, and so when I was 15, so life got a little bit tougher. But I was going to do the one that was the easier one, which is "Love is Where You Find It." And it goes a little bit like
this. Which I see two of them up there.
Yeah, love is where you find it is the one I'm going to do now. Hatter, first.
Okay, got it.
Because it comes in sort of in year order. This is the one that should go first. So it goes a bit like this.
Okay.
Where is love? In spaces and thoughts, or by airs and of lives within and among? Does it fall from skies above, or instead is it circling, encompassing and fresh below sands and rain? Is it underneath, lifting our arms and fingers towards each other despite the distance? The willow tree, fingers dipping in syrup, its green branches sway, enveloping this beauty that I've been dreaming of, kissing your face of rushed breathing and fingers soft, end poem.
Where is the love? Is that the bread song I'm thinking of?
This is "Where Is Love" is the Oliver solo song out of the musical Oliver, and the first line of each stanza is actually the song as written by Pete Hampshire, "Where Is Love."
Whoa! So this is a APism.
It is. So this, let me sing you the song, Hatter. Okay. This is just the one stanza of "Where Is Love" by Keith Hampshire, and it goes, if you just follow the first line of each stanza. Where is love? Does it fall from skies above? Is it underneath the willow tree that I've been dreaming of? There you go.
How cool is that?
Yeah, I'm trying to... okay, the guy that wrote it, who did he play with?
Yeah.
Did he play with?
He wrote it for the musical Oliver. The Keith Hampshire wrote
for the musical.
For
the soundtrack.
Yeah, he wrote the soundtrack and wrote the songs for the musical Oliver. Yeah.
Okay.
And, of course, I was in Oliver as Oliver and about the age of 10.
Yeah, with Jack Wilde as the Dodger.
Yeah. We had a really cool Dodger and teachers playing things, and that was really cool. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
really cool.
The Dodger. He was the coolest guy on there. I think his name was Jack Wilde.
He was.
Actually, it was.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know how I know that. Why I know that.
No. So it was just a really simple sort of, and as per the song, just a really simple, easy sort of way. And I just built the the poem around the song.
I think
that's interesting.
Cool. That's really awesome.
Are you going to name this file?
This is one you can't read backwards, though. But no, I really like that you...
Sadly, no, you can't.
Yeah, but I like that you took just a couple of lines from the song and then expanded it into a whole poem. Plus you got the sing for it, too.
Well, it's just to show that I can still sing it, Steph.
Okay, do we have any SoundClouds recordings?
We do. We have a Gerald SoundCloud.
Okay. Well, it's up to you.
So we're going to do yours next step, I think. That was what we agreed, wasn't it? Do me, then... Yes. So, Deb, you're up.
Yeah, Hatter, I was thinking just to break them up, me, then AP, then Gerald, then AP, we'll do the last one.
Yeah.
I've been dying to share this one with you.
I've been having
it
to move.
Okay.
Take care of your feet. Stay in school. Take care of your feet. Okay. We're good. That's a deal.
Okay. And your disclaimer is take care of your feet. That's interesting. Okay. Now, this is called, now look at them yo-yos, because I want my MTV. Here we go. As Holmes flicked on their TV sets one evening, a space shuttle launch countdown footage played to an announcer saying, ladies and gentlemen, rock and roll, with the song not just played, but displayed. Chins dropped in town, all the wireless phones docked in the charging cradles like dominoes. Then the video killed the radio star song blasted. And on the seat's edge, every teenager froze. Mini movies flash on screens, making stars, showing the singers and the bands in full color. Aired first at my house in Jersey, then near and far. Hosted by television video jockeys playing rock and roll, rocking at my house and then where you are. End poem. Now, I started with the MTV, but a few other things came into play. Let me go back to MTV. The cordless phone that I mentioned, everybody putting on the chargers, they first appeared around 1980, and the earliest ones operated on frequencies of 27 megahertz. Excuse me. On August 1st in 81, MTV goes on the air for the first time ever with the words spoken by the creator, John Lack. Ladies and gentlemen, rock and roll, spoken and played over footage of the first space shuttle launch countdown of Columbia, which took place earlier in the year, and the launch of Apollo 11. The first music video, which at the time was available only to homes in New Jersey, which I learned when I looked it up, was The Buggles. Video killed the radio star. It was followed by one of my all-time favorites, Pat Benatar's You Better Run. The channel originally aired music videos and related programming by television personalities known as video jockeys. MTV has paved the way for the host of invaders from abroad, Def Leppard, Adam Ant, Madness, Rhythmics, The Fix, and Billy Idol, to name a few. In return, Grateful Brits, even superstars like Pete Townsend and the Police have mugged for MTV promo spots and made the phrase, I want my own TV, a household commonplace. Now, one more thing. I found a couple of really cool fun facts that blew me away. The first cell phone was invented in 1973 by Motorola. This chunky device offered a talk time of about 30 minutes and required 10 hours to recharge. The phone was priced at $3,995, which would equivalent $10,000 today. So cell phones became popular during this cellular revolution that started in the 90s. In 1990, the number of mobile users was around 11 million. And by 2020, that number had risen to a whopping 2.5 billion. So MTV and cell phones.
It was a new exposure of artists, and it was absolutely huge. There are some people you never would have heard of, but because of their exposure and the video, the first videos on MTV, they made it. How about Milli Vanilli? I'm joking.
Well, yeah.
Lip syncers.
Yep.
Sorry. It's funnier in my head. There were people that all they wanted was their MTV, right? Their MTV and
I remember that year, like I said, I didn't know until I went to look at to make sure that I was right about the first song played and stuff like that, and I saw the notation about how it started in New Jersey, and I think with all the bad rep that Jersey's always getting, and they're talking about, you know, swimming with the fishies and the this and the that, I think that we ought to get a thank you or two, because if MTV wasn't popular
thank
in
you,
Jersey, you might have never saw it. But you're welcome,
thank
Potter.
You, you know, back then, we had mentioned it earlier about the test markets. Sacramento is always one of the top test markets, being still considered not a metropolis like San Francisco. But, a lot of it, and I'm sure that this is another example. They test marketed it out in New Jersey. Maybe that was their home base anyway, just to see. We were Chicago, Sacramento, I think Denver were the first three test markets for the cellular phones back in the day, just a little bit of knowledge. And we came in number two for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame under, you know
what
the Rock
Jersey?
And Roll Hall of Fame is? No.
Detroit?
God, space it out. Say that again.
Detroit?
It's in Ohio. Detroit's Motown. There's always Cleveland. It's in Cleveland. What do you think, Cleveland? Yeah. That's the one. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I believe it's Cleveland, Ohio. Because we came in number two. We were in the top three. I think we came in number two. Cleveland, Ohio. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That would have been cool to have the Hall of Fame here. Yeah, it's one of those things that people in Cleveland probably, what do you come to Cleveland for? Well, we want to see the Hall of Fame. You know, no big deal. When you live in a tourist town, you lived on the Jersey Shore, didn't you? You know what that's like. You get all the people, all the mainlanders, all the sleelips, all the landlubbers going to the ocean, playing with the sharks. Is this thing on?
Yeah, it's on. Okay. Was I supposed to answer a question somewhere in there?
No. See, it was just making a point of the test markets and how it was really back then. A lot of money was put into surveys and projection. the if you're a consultant, they bring in from outside. You usually do it with your businesses, but they do it with marketing too, and a lot more back then, I think. Now, did you guys ever do the Nielsen TV thing where they you log in all your TV time and what you watched?
Yep.
for weeks?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So I think it's that was part of that too.
Like a Nielsen
the marketing. What's that?
Like one of the Nielsen families?
Yeah, they send you. You could become a test family, and what you do is just send away, and they'll send you a packet, and you log when your TV's turned on and what you're watching, and you do that for. I don't know if it's 2 weeks or if it's longer than that. I think it's just 2 weeks.
No, it's longer than that for here.
Mm-hmm. Is it longer?
Yeah, I don't know, but never
interested my dog. Yeah, you're a week into it, and you figure, why now? I get.
It's a lot of work.
It is. It is. When you're, especially because your TV time usually, with me, when I watch TV, it was downtime. It was
taking a nap.
Taking a nap. It worked so much back then. But, so let me ask you. I told you with mine was the stereo components and the quadraphonic and the speakers and the boosters and were some of your other ones, the things that affected you. Now, you were on the ocean then, right? Have you on the shore? So, like, ski-doos were the jet skis. It must have been huge.
I like the paddle boats and stuff, but that's the kind of stuff we did more in the lake at grandma's house. Down the shore, it was more suntanning and playing at the edge.
Well, how did you like every weekend or holidays or summer, all the mountain people coming down to the ocean being stupid? Usually people that live in the resort towns don't like the outside. The tourists, I can understand a little bit, but the now let's get another poem done. I don't have to get off telling stories.
Okay, you want to put another one of yours up there?
Yep.
And I'm there.
You go and grab the second one, because the first lot of, you know, my sort of first 15 years was, you know, pretty straightforward and pretty easy. And then the next set got tough all of a sudden. So this is Under the Bed.
Well,
and it goes a little bit like this.
Can
you see it, Hatter? I just copied it back onto the...
I got it. Yeah, it just disappeared.
Yeah,
you
got it?
It's this one, Under the Bed.
Yep, that's it. Yep.
Gotcha. I got it.
Here we go. We are under the main bed. The shouting increases from outside. There is banging and swearing while more pressure to handles applied. They bang around the house seeking those who live inside as bash, owed money by my father, and he's on the road selling for cash. And seen everything is sold, from the furniture to all the records, and creditors paid a proportion of what they owe writ at cords. It was a long road back, in rental homes with cheap furniture, seconds clothes and such, while the looks and taunts endure. And for me, became a talisman to work hard and diversify futures till, whatever were the challenges, faced all with an indomitable will. In pump.
Okay. There's a story behind this. You can share?
Very much.
Can you elaborate a little bit?
Oh, well, basically my father put everything into a store, a retail store, and he went broke, Catter. Basically, we had he got a lot of stock from a supplier, and that supplier was unfortunately connected to one of the motorcycle gangs, which is a pretty silly thing to do, and so we had some pretty nasty people kicking around outside the house trying to bang on doors and bang through windows to get money. And he was out trying to make the money, and he would, you know, was out trying to get the stock and sell it for cash. And it was a really nasty time. I mean, everything got sold.
Wow. Are we talking to angels? Are we talking?
The angels here? No, I don't think it was the angels, but it was another gang, and
okay.
You know, and he owed them big money at the time, and he was out trying to get it, and he, but it was very nasty, Hatter. It was very nasty and scary as well.
Yeah, I can feel it. Wow, almost have to go into protection.
Yeah.
Besides having the story behind it, this is well done, man. Very well done.
Thank you.
That's just the four. It's just the flow. We think that pretty good. Unmuted.
Yes, and I was trying to find my mute button. And it also, I don't know, wasn't there a poem? See, I don't want to ask because I don't remember if it's a published poem or one you shared. So on a minor note, wasn't there one that had China that broke when it fell? Is this like
yes, that was a lead-on from, the great set of sort of recovery and rental properties and then after that happened, that they settled down. The China was what stopped them from moving every year.
Wow.
Okay. Because I could feel the same sadness and the same, I guess tragedy is the right word, for a youngster to have to go through. It really does put a mega impression on you for your choices later. Really powerful. Like I said, though, it just took me to the one, I don't know why I'm stuck on these issues, but sometimes
same feeling.
Something that comes down generations is special.
Thanks, Dave.
Interesting. You know, you were one wrong move away from making the 11 o'clock news, huh?
Yes, Hatter, unfortunately, yes.
I can dig that. Okay, I was trying to look up something, but that's not important. What Pat Benatar song was it that was the second song played on MTV? Not the children.
What's the matter?
I'm muted. What was Pat Benatar's song? It was the second song on MTV.
You better hide.
Okay.
You better leave from my side.
Yeah,
my
Pat
favorite
Benatar part.
I said, go away and leave me alone. I can't stand you no more.
So, Hatter, I was going to play the Graham Greene, the SoundCloud that we have received from Gerald Greene, and do that next. Yeah. So
sounds
I
good.
Put
sounds
his palm
good.
Up on the board, and here comes the piece from Gerald now.
Preteen Awakening, written and read by Gerald Greene. A bicycle is freedom for a 10-year-old, releasing bonds that tie them to an obsolescent life. desires to explore, expand on summer days, on twisting avenues and old brick streets. The town becomes his town, with knowledge gained, each block familiar with repeated sightings. Ability to move about and see the world transforms and educates to lift awareness. The child becomes a boy, preparing thoughts and readiness to find a place to prosper. Mother is no longer all there is, as observation makes its mark on willingness. To move through spheres of people and their businesses brings change as muscles grow and new ideas form. The bicycle supports a metamorphosis that scientists have yet to understand. Mobility enhances dreams of what could be and energizes aspirations seeking heights unseen. End poem.
That was great. The bicycle.
Yep.
It's huge.
Yep. The bicycle.
Yep. He got even like the cobblestone, the bricks, the brick roads, the streets that were never easy on your tires. But yeah, it opened up a whole new section of home to you.
Well, it gave a freedom to move away from home, but it gave a freedom to see the bigger picture, having a bike, and I agree with him completely. Absolutely, it did.
Another excellent one by Gerald. Wow. Bicycle supports a metamorphosis that scientists have yet to understand. Mobility enhances dreams of what could be and energizes aspirations seeking heights unseen. And that's exactly right. I remember the year we got our bikes. It was on. There was nothing that we couldn't. Well, there was a lot we found out we couldn't do.
But it didn't seem like you could. It didn't seem that there was much you couldn't do when you had a bike, had it? Because you could just go. You could go places that you couldn't go before. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, we had everything was split level where I lived in the Bay Area, and when they were building houses up on the hill, they were very steep, very long tread of like the Honda trails. They got bigger and bigger and bigger. The last one was a very drop off. Yeah, excellent. This is going on a list. I brought back some. He did a very good job. And a bicycle, sure. This is a list. Well, number one. Good job, Gerald. I'm going to get you to come to the show one of these times.
I agree.
We'll have to find out.
We've got to get him to
Tell me one something in a sweepstakes and then call this number to collect his. No.
Good try.
Tell him what he's won, AP.
Sorry, Heather?
Tell him what he's won. I'll be the MC. And I'll say, tell him what he's won, AP. Tell him what he's won.
We'll get you your winnings at a later date, Heather. You'll win something.
Yeah, poetry classes. You get 2 hours with AP Taylor.
No, he could be better than that. He could win his own show. He could have his own show, Heather.
He could win three co-host spots. This is what you want.
There you go. There you go. There you go.
So, Joe, you won three. You've won three co-host spots in the future. Use them by.
Yep. You just gotta come on past.
We'll have to make a coupon book.
Collect your winnings in person. Yeah, like that. So.
I gave a check to the World Fund, and with your name.
Yes.
Remember those gifts? I think George Costanza did it. He just faked it. He didn't send any checks to any place. He just said, I sent a check with your name on it to the Earth Fund.
Anyway,
that's
look, I've got one more poem, Hatter. I've got one more poem, and it's a little backstory, so bear with me. It's got a little backstory. I was going to be in London for a whole 4 days for work, and both to London were not happy occasions. The first occasion that I went to London, I basically had to tell the client we were working with that the product that we were delivering was going to be 6 months late. Which was not a great message. And the second time I went across, I said, now that we've got through that the product is going to be delivered 6 months later, I now need an extra couple of million dollars out of you to pay for it. So I had my first trip to London was the product's going to be 6 months late. The second one is I need another $2 million. So I had two wondrously wonderful trips to London, Hatter, and where I was only in London for 3 or 4 days to give really, really, really very poor stories. Anyway, the first trip I went across. First trip I went across was the I landed on the morning after the vote of Brexit, and everybody was in a state of shock because the UK basically agreed to separate. Yeah. So going through the streets at 6:30 in the morning, and people were still coming out of the pubs trying to get it in their heads. And I got to the office, but the office wasn't open when I was there. So I took a walk around the streets because I'd landed at 5:30 in the morning from Singapore, which is a 12-hour flight. And I found a poetry cafe, of all things. I wandered past and I realised it'd be open. And then I worked out that it was going to be open that night. And they had poetry readings, open poetry readings at 10 o'clock. And so I went and put myself in and did an open poetry read at the Poetry Cafe in central London after having got to London at 5:30 in the morning.
Do you remember what you read?
And no, this is the experience. I read three of my poems. And I realized that my father had left London at 15. He'd never gone back. He'd never came back from Australia. So this was me actually coming back. This is Ashes Spread. And this goes a little bit like this. I stand naked, a microphone, my cover. I'm in London in a basement lined with metal surplus chairs. 70 pairs of eyes straining at me in dim lighting. You were born here, but health challenges saw visits stymied. I'm visiting your home, standing, presenting in your lounge room. You are observing eyes behind me upon my neck. Stuttering, I start reading my poem. Rich in your ways, honouring memories you bestowed me. My voice at first to tremble as I speak of you. Voice ascends to its steady timbre until I conclude and look up. The slightest pause followed by long, sustained applause. Chapter sealed that eve at the Poetry Cafe, words as ashes spread. End poem.
So you were the messenger of bad news, but these people didn't know that.
I was. No, I was just doing my poetry, but I'd had a hell of a day.
So,
this was where I landed at 5:30. Had a coffee and then basically gave everybody and told everybody what a mess things were, and everybody got really upset with me, as they would. And then I spent the rest of the day explaining that. And then I went and read poetry and then went to sleep.
So I take it you weren't taken out to dinner by your
No, Hatter, I was not taken out for dinner. Absolutely not. No. After everybody had been yelling at me for a good 4 or 5 hours, it there was no way they were taking me out for dinner. But I saw it as sort of a spreading the road base, so to speak. You know, we had to get the message out there somewhere. Somebody had to give it to them. and I drew the short straw.
Oh, the short straw. How many other people were in the pool?
I don't think too many. It's very easy to give good information. It's a bloody darn sight harder to actually travel halfway around the world and disappoint people in a significant way, because they'd already bought and paid for a lot of advertising slots for the product that they thought was being delivered, and there was all sorts of knock-on effects that were nasty and horrible. And everybody knew that, but nobody wanted to tell them, because they knew they'd get their heads bitten off, and I did. But you know, somebody had to do it.
Yeah, I think that story needs to be told before you read the piece.
That's one of those, yeah, it was a long day.
Deborah, what do you think of the harbinger of disappointment here? 6 months. Well, can I ask what kind of material it was, or what kind of
It was a computer program, Hatter. It was a computer program, and it was messy.
Cool.
Well, I think, Hatter, you had just said that he should tell the story before he reads, but I disagree, because it's one of those things where once he reads it and then he tells you, you have to go back and look again, because as it stands, ashes spread, and then I listen. I stand naked, a microphone, my cover, I'm in London, 70 pairs of eyes straining at me. You were born here.
Yeah.
So I am thinking that we are at a wake or a funeral, and he's doing an elegy. And I'm wondering who the person is whose ashes he's going to spread. Excuse me.
Yeah.
And
well,
I started to feel you getting choked up in the middle. So then I was thinking that it would be a relative versus a friend. So this could go so many different ways if you don't set the poet up to look for it to be specific. And then by the time you get to the Poetry Cafe, it's like, okay, well, no, let me back up a little bit, because not too many times that I have done elegies, and I've read many poems at funerals, but there's not usually applause. So then I was like, wait a minute, you know, because I mean, even the choking up part where your voice is trembling, in my case, my voice has trembled a few times in an effort to not cry. Up until little hints like the applause and that Poetry Cafe, I was in a totally different place. But that's really cool too. This is an awesome piece.
Yeah, so I was looking at it like these people that he was in front of had no idea what kind of day he had.
Correct.
They were a different group of people, and you could still feel disappointment, but there's a little sorrow or something in it, in the words, that it goes along with you, be careful how you treat people. You don't know what kind of day they had, you know that some people could be going through a lot worse things.
It was a hard day, Hatter, I still remember a poem. I wrote the poem within the hour of when I did the three poems that I recited.
And that's smart. That's smart to do. Everybody should do that. When your emotions are piqued by some reason or another, whether it's tragic or not, if you can write down your feelings or write down how your mind, where you're at, whether you use it later or not is up to you. But sometimes it's you're in a place that you rarely can draw from when you're in that state.
No, I agree. I agree, Hatter. No, I agree. Yeah. If you can do it. God, I was tired, but yeah, no, I agree. If you can do it, you should.
Yeah. Well, so Deb, I was just. I was just looking at it at a different, like there was the two different sets of people is why I said that
yes.
that story needs to be told before it's read. I can see where you're coming from too, though. Yeah, I had it not the same because these were strangers. You stood up and you exposed your belly to at a time where yeah, you're not at your best. You just got got the door slammed in your face. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So how did it all work out at the end? Still got the customer client?
Well, yeah, it was interesting actually because we ended up delivering the product and then they ended up paying almost exactly how much I said they would pay more, even though they screamed and yelled at me again. We retained them as a customer. I was quite surprised that we did, but we did. So, and it's interesting, even though you cop all of the flack when you go and you're up front and straight with people and say, this is where we are, which is what I did with the two visits to London, I actually was highly respected by that crew. Because I was the one that actually went over and, you know, took the heat straight on and was there to do it. Yeah.
Were you the only game in town? Did they have to just sort of?
Oh no, They could have gone elsewhere.
Were they invested in you pretty well at that time?
They had a preference to stay with us. I think they were invested to that degree. Yeah, but they could have. Yeah. They certainly could have at any point walked away. Hatter. Yeah, they could have.
Did you ever get a dinner?
No.
Okay. Some things. Okay, well, we got 7 minutes. We got one more to go, don't we?
I don't think so.
We need to work out what's next week's topic, and it's my turn, and vanilla. Vanilla. Okay.
You know, vanilla bean, vanilla essence, vanilla ice cream, vanilla.
Sure. I love vanilla.
So do I.
But my mother was like that. A good vanilla ice cream is fine, and everybody gets upset. No, half and a half.
Yeah.
The Bratton berry pudding. No, thank you. No, thank you. Yeah. But I can't eat it anymore.
Yep.
Oh no,
yep.
Vanilla. Okay, but that was it. And I mentioned on the think tank, being that we're in this, they're draining all the lakes and the reservoirs in Northern California, they were going to go into this, illegal water in your yards and stuff. So everybody's yards are looking pretty burnt up. So I'm just thinking that we can get some eco-friendly paint. We could do some damage with some of these people. Just get a couple people to do it for free, so people could see how you do and see if they want to. Because if it wasn't too involved, and you had spray equipment, you could go in there and you could really
right along. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, you could do it as an art. You could do it as an art thing. You could have different art people doing different lawns. Yeah, well, I think it's got potential about it.
You know, I could sketch out the actual pattern or logo or whatever you want on, and just do it by grids. Go in there with some string and. Lay it all out and do some graffiti.
Yep, that's it.
Not a bad idea.
Yep. Or you could do it with lights. You could actually have lights come on and place it on. So you could actually do it virtually.
There you go. Yeah, I got Halloween coming up too. Well, hey, we got
exactly.
4 minutes left. I'll take this time for everybody that wrote for the show. You know who you are. I always get it wrong. No, Sky for calling in. Thank you, Sky. Steven, you and Kate, always welcome. We had Gerald Green. Good, thank you. AP Taylor, thank you. I'm missing somebody. Who am I missing?
Deb.
No, I didn't save her for last. I got to save her for last.
Oh.
I got Gerald. Who else did we have? And thank you to Deborah, my little sister, my best friend. Thank you. Couldn't do it without you. You make me look good. And I was thinking, how about we just play some Alice to go out? I Shine Down. Group from...
How about you say something good about Shine Down?
I'm sorry, say that again.
I said, how about you say something pretty about Shinedown?
Yeah, they were a group formed in 2001. Lead singer Alex Smith from a previous band reformed into Shinedown from Florida. They are still rocking today. They are basically a hard rocker, but they can play some nice melodies. There's some unplugged work by Shinedown. Check them out. To me, they look like a live band, like a great garage band. So Shinedown, this is Alice, as in Wonderland.
As in, I will push it in a second. As in, tomorrow at 10 p.m. in our sister room, the adult room. You can hang out with Sweet Pete and Pretty Bird. On Monday, it's a double prompt challenge at 10 o'clock with me, a photo and a quote combined. And on Tuesday, Rock and Tour has a very interesting quote that is his prompt for the show. And that quote is, "The world is a comedy to those that think, a tragedy to those that feel," by Horace Walpole. So there's the next few days, and as instructed by Hatter, her name was Alice.
Bye, everybody.
Love and respect.
If I had a world of my own, everything would be nonsense. Nothing would be what it is, because everything would be what it isn't.
I invite you to a world where there is no such thing as time, and every creature lends themselves to change your state of mind. And the girl that chased the rabbit drank the wine and took the pill, has locked herself in limbo to see how it truly outside your virtue. No one can ever hurt you, or so they...
I read the news today.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what happened then, but
the
I think
lucky man in the
grave.
I don't know what happened either, but...
And though the news was rather sad.
No, but we will see you next week for Vanilla, and we'll go in with the Alice theme to start with next week, Hannah. We'll play it all then.
And Sky's in bed. She's not and messing in somebody else's thing, right?
No,
just checking.
Okay, bye everybody.
I'm not even
Vanilla
in
next week.
Yeah.
See you later.
Vanilla next week. Good night, guys.
Bye.
See ya.
Good night.